Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with praying to impress as we pick up in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now, anything that we do repeat over and over again, the same words, can easily become meaningless. You know, we set the little groove patterns in our brain, and all we have to do is tune in to that particular channel and push the button, and you can just say it without even thinking. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, I mean, it push the button and it goes. It's like pulling the string on the little dollies. I mean, it's just something that's programmed in, you know. God is great, God is good. We thank you, Father, for our food. Amen, you know. And you can mouth these words without even, you can be thinking about something else entirely as you're saying these words. I don't have to be thinking about what I say because I can just say these words by rote. And thus, they become empty repetition of words. So first of all, when I pray, I'm not to seek to get in some conspicuous place so everybody will see that I am a man of prayer. I heard the reputation of a minister. Everybody said, oh, he's such a man of prayer. And I was anxious to meet this fellow because I'd heard his reputation of being a man of prayer. And so it happened that I was at a summer camp speaking, and he was also at that same summer camp. And I found out how he got his reputation as a man of prayer. Every morning at 6 o'clock down in the chapel, you could hear this fellow praying. All over camp, you could hear him praying. And from 6 to 7, you could hear him praying down there in the chapel, crying out to the Lord. And I often wondered, does God want us to have a reputation of a man of prayer? Is it not better to go into the closet and shut the door and pray to the Father who sees in secret? And the Father who sees in secret then will be the one who rewards us. I would not be surprised, but what the reward that man gets from his prayer life is not the fact that he has a tremendous reputation of being a man of prayer. And he loves that reputation. And he's doing everything to keep that reputation alive by praying in such a way that everybody is noticing the fact that he is praying. Now, we've got to be careful about motivation. Even in prayer, what I pray for is tested by motivation. James said, you have not because you ask not. And then he added, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it on your own lust. In other words, it's possible for me to even have the wrong motivation for praying what I'm praying for. Motivation is such an important thing. That's why the Bible said, let every man examine himself, for if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged of God. And it's good to examine, why did I do that? Now, I do not always know. It's possible for me to deceive myself. And David, realizing the possibility of deceiving himself concerning his own personal motivations, said, Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know my downsittings, my uprisings. You understand my thoughts and their origins. He said, such knowledge is too great for me. I cannot attain it. I really don't know myself, Lord. And so he concludes that psalm by saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be some wicked way in me. Oh, God, you search me. God, you show me. God, you reveal what is in my heart. Because I can be deceiving myself. But I'm not deceiving God. For he searches the hearts, the reins. He knows what are the motives behind everything I do. And God knows I don't want to waste my time. If I'm going to do it, I want to be doing it out of the right motivation, and I want to receive the rewards from the Lord for doing it. And so in our prayers, be careful that we do not seek to pray drawing attention to ourselves or pray to impress people, that they might be seen of men. The idea behind it is they're trying to impress people. Be careful that you don't pray to impress people. Prayer is not intended to impress people. It's intended to impress God. Go into your closet. Shut the door. Your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. The second negative is don't use the vain repetitions, as they were doing in those days, thinking that you'll be heard for your much speaking. It isn't the length of prayer, nor is it the time or the amount of time spent in prayer that makes prayer valid. Those prayers that are recorded in the Bible are all of them very short. So many times we think that prayer doesn't really become effective until we've been on our knees for an hour. Not so. There's no sense of just filling up the time with meaningless little stereotype phrases when I'm talking to God. When you come into God, sit down, declare your business to God, declare your heart, open it to Him, lay it out before Him, and be brief, be concise. Because the Lord knows what you have need of before you ever ask Him. Prayer is not information time where I'm now going to inform you, God, of everything that's gone wrong in my life today. God knows everything that's gone wrong. I don't have to rehearse it for Him. Nor do I have to go over a long list of my needs. God knows what I have need of before I ever ask Him. And so don't use vain repetitions just to fill up time. The heathen think that they're going to be heard for their much speaking, but it isn't the much speaking. Now, Jesus then gave to us a model prayer. It is tragic that many people have taken this model prayer and use it in vain repetition. And so they say this model prayer over and over again. And they're encouraged many times to do so as far as their penance is concerned. You know, so many Hail Marys and so many Our Fathers, which are nothing but vain repetition. The very thing that Jesus spoke against, thinking that you'll be heard for your much speaking. No, you won't. And just to repeat the Lord's Prayer out of memory really has no value. There's tremendous value if you will take it very slowly, phrase by phrase, and really think upon it and meditate upon it. But basically, He is giving to us a model prayer. And as He gives to us the model prayer, first of all, prayer always is dependent upon relationship, and thus it is significant that the prayer opens expressing relationship, our Father. And if He is not your Father, then you have no right to call on Him. The blind man said to the Pharisees when they were challenging Him on how He was healed, he said, well, this man came and he laid his hands on me and I could see. Well, what did he do? Well, I told you. And they said, well, as far as this man, they said, give the glory to God. As far as this man, we don't know anything about him. I said, well, isn't that a marvelous thing? You're someone you don't know anything about, and He's opening the eyes of the blind. He's doing the work of the Messiah. And they got angry at the man. The man says, hey, we know that God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. I mean, he must be doing something right if God's answering his prayers. Now, notice that that isn't necessarily biblical truth. This is the statement of a blind man to the Pharisees. Because in reality, God does hear the prayer of sinners. One prayer at least. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Thank God He hears that prayer. And yet, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear me when I pray. That's divine truth. God's hand is not short that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear, but your sin has separated between you and your God. That's divine truth. Sin separates a man from God. However, there is relationship involved in prayer, And that relationship is a child coming to the Father, and I am a child of God through my faith in Jesus Christ. And so I can say, Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed could also be translated reverend. You know, the Jews had a very high respect for the name of God. In fact, they had such a high respect for the name of God that they came to the place where they felt that their lips were unworthy to utter the name of God. Ultimately, they came to the place where they thought that their minds were unworthy to even think of the name of God, to think it in their mind. So as the scribes, in copying the scriptures, would come to the name of God, instead of writing the vowels, they only wrote the consonants, YHVH. Try and pronounce that. Without the vowels, you don't know how it is pronounced, and so to the present day, we do not know how to pronounce the name of God. But before the scribes would even write the YHVH in their manuscript, they would go in, take a bath, put on fresh clothes, take a new pen, dip it in fresh ink, and then write those consonants, YHVH. Now imagine in a passage where you have the name of the Lord listed five or six times, yet it became a little tradition among them that when they were copying, they would always go in and take this ritual bath and put on fresh clothes, and then write those consonants, YHVH. Now, whether or not the name was pronounced Jehovah or Yahweh, we're really not sure. Most scholars think that it was Yahweh. But the pronunciation of God's name has been lost as the result of this tradition among the Jews. But oh, how highly did they esteem his name. In the Psalms, the psalmist declared, "Holy and reverend is thy name." Here, basically, the same thing is being said in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed or reverend be thy name. Now, where in the world men ever got the tradition of tacking reverend on the name of a man, I do not know. But I really do not consider myself as Reverend Chuck Smith. I don't think there's anything reverend about the name Chuck. But it's unfortunate, you know, they start out and they say, Reverend Chuck Smith. And then they're trying to puff you up a little more and they say, the Reverend Chuck Smith. And then they're trying to pump you up a little more and they say, the most Reverend Chuck Smith, you know. And the most right Reverend Chuck Smith. And you know, they start adding all these titles to man. Oh, how tragic. How sad. I really don't care for a title. The name of the Lord is reverend. It's hallowed. But surely not the name of any man. Now, a lot of people take the title in ignorance, and I will accept that. A lot of people in writing to me write, Dear Reverend Smith, or Reverend Smith, or whatever, and I just laugh, and I know that they don't know me. Because I don't consider myself reverend at all. I do reverence God, and I reverence his name. But there's nothing reverent about my name. And so, I don't make a big deal over it, but I mean, it's just something that, you know, it's one of those things that people started and they carry on, and it's the exalting of man, and I don't believe in the exalting of man. I believe, you know, that no flesh should glory in his sight. Let's exalt the Lord. Let's hold his name reverend and hallowed, but let's not be exalting man. For he that exalts himself, the Lord will abase. So recognition is next. First of all, relationship, our Father. Recognition. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy and reverend is thy name. I'm talking now to God who has created the universe. He said to Jeremiah, "Behold, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me?" I need to remember that when I pray, because so often when I pray, I carry my own limitations in. This thing is too tough for me. It's too much for me. I can't handle it. And I'm prone many times to carry that sense of defeat or overwhelmed by the problem into my prayer life with God, as though, you know, it's overwhelmed me, surely it's going to overwhelm God. And so recognition of the one that I'm talking to is so important in prayer. We are told in Hebrews, "For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is." That he is what? That he is the eternal God who sees, as Jesus said, who knows, as Jesus said, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. Now, "hallowed be thy name" is actually a petition. It's praying that God's name be reverenced and held in high esteem, or hallowed by men. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Two more petitions, but the first three petitions all relate to God. They do not relate to me. In prayer, my primary thrust in prayer should be that desire to get God's will accomplished. It is wrong to think of prayer as an agency by which I can get my wishes fulfilled. God never intended prayer to be a means by which my wishes can be granted. God intended prayer as a means whereby I might work in cooperation with him in getting his will done on this rebellious planet Earth. And true prayer begins with God, the purpose and the plan of God, and prayer is never intended as changing the purposes of God. I believe that every right thing that I have ever prayed for and received, God had already purposed and planned to give it to me before I ever prayed. You say, then why pray? Because God has made me a free moral agent. God has given me the capacity of choice, and God honors my choice and will not violate my free will. God will only do for me what I am willing for him to do for me and what I allow him to do for me. Therefore, prayer is opening the door to God to do the things for me that he was planning and wanting to do all the while, but would not do against my will. Jesus said to his disciples in John the 15th chapter, "Now you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should be my disciples, and that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may," not shall, "he may give it to you." God wants to give it to you. God wants to do for you, but he will not cross or violate your free will, which he gave to you. But prayer opens the door then for God to do for you what he's been wanting to do the whole time, but will not violate or cross your will to do it. So prayer begins with God, the purposes of God. And the real thrust of prayer is not my will be done. And this is the fallacy of these teachers today who have become so popular on television and in the full gospel circles. And that's the tragedy of the full gospel circles, is the lack of theological depth. The people are so shallow, they are chasing after every new wind of doctrine and slight cunning of men who are going around with some new concept, and everybody begins to traipse after them. And now it's the old, you know, thing that prayer is, you know, you're grabbing the scepter and ruling the world. You demand that God do it, you know. And you insist and you press and you pray and you believe and God's got to do whatever you ask him to do. Not so. God is no little genie that has to fulfill your wishes. He is the sovereign Lord of the universe and in control of the universe. And let me say that I thank God for all of my unanswered prayers. I would have had this world in a big mess had God answered all my prayers. Because I was praying about things about which I really did not fully understand because I could only see partially. And I was sure that I had full knowledge when I only had partial knowledge. And I was praying according to my partial knowledge. And when I got full knowledge, I said, whoo, thank God he didn't answer that one. Boy, what a mess I would have been in, you know. Let God be sovereign. Let God be God. Honor him as God. And realize that the real thrust of prayer is not to fulfill my wishes, but it's to get his will done. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 6 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless you and keep his hand upon your life. And may he help you to walk in all righteousness and holiness. For he is Jehovah our God, and he is a holy God, and he wants his people to be a holy people. That the name of the Lord would not be blasphemed by my actions, but that people in seeing my good works will glorify our Father who is in heaven, in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Undoubtedly, one of the most glaring signs that our society is in trouble is the breakdown of the family unit. Marriages just aren't making it today, and kids are suffering as they watch the breakup of their homes. Those marriages still holding together are often plagued by conflict and turmoil, making the home a battleground instead of a refuge. That's why The Word for Today would like to present Pastor Chuck Smith's Marriage and Family MP3, where Pastor Chuck discusses basic biblical principles to keep a family's love alive. Each member of the family has a different set of needs and responsibilities. And when you know and apply God's principles, everyone in the family can experience real peace, real joy, and an agape love. To order your copy of the Marriage and Family MP3 by Chuck Smith, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.